Welcome to this Red Meat and Wool Growth Program podcast brought to you by PIRZA.
Data. It used to be a word relegated to the IT industry. However, today it's a word that's used heavily on farms trying to find new ways of improving productivity. McPiggery is one of those. It's a 19,500 hectare business in the southern mallee of South Australia, and it's owned and managed by the McMahon family. The business has been selected as a focus farm for the Red Meat and Wool Growth Program as a way to demonstrate the adoption and use of livestock technologies on farm. In this season of Tech Talks, we are looking at the Red Meat and Wool Focus Farms, and Dwayne Simon from McPiggery joins me in the PIRZA studio. Dwayne, thanks for your time.
G'day, Drew. How are you going today?
Thanks. I'm well, Dwayne. Now, the property that you work on is called McPiggery, but pigs are not the sole focus because I understand you're the Broadacre Livestock Manager. Tell me a little bit more about the farm.
So we've got a 1,650 sow piggery, which is probably our main business. And then we've got three enterprises of scale, I suppose. Like, we crop 5,000 hectares and we've got 8 to 10,000 ewes as well. So it's a good spread, I suppose.
That seems to be quite a variation in sheep numbers. Why is that?
We don't really have a set number because the seasons are so variable, but we sort of hover between 6,000 and 10,000 ewes, season depending, because just trying to look after that ground cover and not overfeed as well, like just a bit of a floating number, but that seems to be the only way we can manage the variable climate at the minute.
From what I understand about your operation, you keep sheep and cropping paddocks very separate. Why is that?
Yeah, we've got that bit more marginal country that we were trying to continuous crop, and we've sort of moved away from that and expanded our sheep enterprise on that lesser ground, and we've tried to acquire better cropping ground just for yield security and all that. But yeah, turning more of that marginal country into grazing country.
So that cropping land, Dwayne, is that what you're using as feed as well?
Yep, so that grows all our grain and hay for our sheep and our piggery. So try and value add that all through our livestock.
So, Dwayne, in terms of wool, what are you focusing on and aiming to produce there?
Yep, so we're doing a 6-monthly shearing. We've been doing that for about 5 years now, and it's been a really good management tool just for managing lambing ewes. You don't have a ewe with a heap of wool on it, and it's a bit easier to manage the ewes with 6 months shearing, but we're aiming to sort of hit that 70 mil of 19 to 20 micron wool off our ewes, sort of. If we can cut 3.5 to 4 kilos every 6 months, that's our sort of target with the wool side of it, for sure.
Dwayne, a moment ago you sort of said, look, you know, you've got a bit of a floating number when it comes to sheep. How important then is introducing new technology to try and make that number more manageable and also more profitable?
If we can use that AID technology to notify your most productive sheep, if you do have to reduce numbers, you're not selling your most productive sheep off. So when it does come time when it has rained or whatever, hopefully that lambing percentage will be a fraction higher and we can jump back straight into high production mode.
So what sort of data then are you keeping on the sheep to make those decisions?
Yeah, so more that maternal data, like sheep that were born a twin. So when we're preg testing, we'll scan the ewes and we'll know that life history of that ewe. Like if she's had twins 1 year, then a single, or she's had twins, then missed, or a ewe that's had twins every year, just so we can identify those high productive sheep and use that information to drive our flock forward.
The technology then is in the tag that lets you identify that, but then you need other facilities associated, like auto drafters, I'm assuming.
Yeah. So we've had an auto drafter sheep handler for a long time, even before we had EID tags, just for when we wean our lambs, we just put everything through and process them, and because you can get variable bait drench guns and stuff like that if you really want to get into it, but just have two drench guns set up when you're doing the light lambs and the heavy lambs with what they actually need through your auto drafter and stuff, which is a cost saving. And then we're just working towards adapting the electronic tag through it for sorting out information that you've got in the tags, for sure.
How do you see that being applied further down the track then, Dwayne?
It'd be a great tool going forward because you can have your sheep walk into your handler or whatever when you're classing and bang, that information, that lifetime data from that animal will be on a screen. You can go, she's raised twins every year. She's not the fattest animal, but she's not the fattest because of this. It gives a reason behind how the animal looks, I suppose. Because that big fat ewe that never raises a lamb that looks $1 million, but she hasn't produced it much at all.
Dwayne, in terms of the tech, though, I mean, suddenly you've got EID. There's a lot of data coming through. Are you managing that data yourself, or are you looking to a third party to try and help you sort all of that out and just get the information you need to make decisions from?
So we've been hosting the sire evaluation for the last 2 years. There's a lot of data collection and entry that comes with that. And once we get more into it, I can't justify, because I'm not that good with it, to do all that work. I'd rather pay an expert to smash it out. I can get the information and then use it straight away instead of me getting lost in it at all and not getting it done.
Have you got any other plans to further integrate technology in terms of the sheep operation as you move forward, Dwayne?
Yeah, we've been working on it for the last few years, just a bit of a water management system, just electronically recording water levels in tanks and just to give us a bit of water security, because our properties are a bit geographically spread. So I've got tank monitors on every farm, so I can just jump on my phone and have a look through, and you know you've got water, you can see how much you've used. And it is pretty interesting as well, because you can work out how much your stock are drinking per day on a hot day or a humid day or whatever as well. But it just gives you that peace of mind when you're away, you can jump on and you know you've got water and it's all working.
You mentioned there peace of mind, Dwayne. That must be quite a liberating thing. It actually lets you get away from the property, whereas other times you would probably go, yeah, I can't be away at this moment. That's got to be a positive for you and a bit of lifestyle balance, work-life balance.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I've had it before, like you're away on a really hot day and something has gone wrong, but you can't get there, but you can get someone else to go check something for you as well. So, or if it is real bad, you can drop what you're doing and fix the problem as well. Where if you didn't know and you got home 2 days later and you've had a problem for 3 days, it's too late.
Dwayne, in terms of getting that sort of data back, have you got the mobile phone network to carry those signals, or is that further technology that you've had to invest in on the property?
We're pretty lucky. Like, we've put the monitors on, and there is companies out there. There's more and more getting on the market for water telemetry measurement and all that sort of stuff. But we rely on gravity, so all our tanks are on hills. So we're lucky that way that we do have service on our hills for sure. But that's probably the downfall. It'd be good to be able to monitor troughs, but all the troughs are in the gullies on the heavy ground when we don't have a lot of service on them spots. So that's probably the biggest downfall. But them hot days, you got to go clean the trough anyway, so you got to be there on them extreme days.
Well, in terms of water, Dwayne, where are you actually getting that from, and is that an important part of being able to produce where you are actually located in the first place?
Yeah, definitely. We're very lucky. We've got artesian water underground, and quality is good enough for livestock. If that wasn't there, we'd be relying on mains, and that's more of a cost, and it is pretty marginal country, so we're pretty blessed that we've got that artesian water there.
Lastly, Dwayne, how did you become part of the red meat and wool focus farms, and what do you get out of being part of it?
So, yeah, we'd been running the sire evaluation and had a bit of and I'd helped with some Sheep Connect stuff in the past, and just wanted to try and share the information which we're going through learning at the moment, because there was no one with the information when we started. So if we can all learn from each other's positives and mistakes, it's going to be really beneficial to the industry for sure.
Dwayne, I have no doubt that the industry is benefiting from you sharing your knowledge and experience. To find out more about the systems being used on McPiggery, go to the red meat and wool section of the PIRZA website, where you can find out all about the Focus Farms. Dwayne, thanks for joining me in the PIRZA studio.
That's too easy. Thanks, Drew.